Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Today we'll read from the ninth canto, chapter 10, the pastimes of the Supreme Lord Ramachandra. Except for the devotees, it'll be very difficult for people to appreciate how we're celebrating the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. It's the story of a person who was born in a Kshatriya family, sent away by his father to fight against demons when he was a boy. Then he got married, and right the day he was supposed to be crowned king, he was put into the forest for 14 years. And in the forest, his wife got kidnapped. And after he had to wander around for some time, making friends with monkeys and others, and then he fought against the person who kidnapped his wife, got her back, and then banished his wife. So somehow or another, this is our celebration today. So people may wonder about this. It's a story of demons and kidnappings and all kinds of things. But these are all the transcendental pastimes of Krishna. And they've been going on since time immemorial, these pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. And they're all enjoyable and for instance, Hanuman, every day, he hears about these pastimes. So unless they were enjoyable, why would Hanuman take pleasure in hearing these pastimes over and over again every day? Even Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he used to play the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra. So did Lord Krishna. And Lord Nityananda used to play the pastimes. And it was said that he was so expert at playing the pastimes that people actually thought he must have had some familiarity with those pastimes. One time Lord Nityananda was playing with his childhood boyfriends and one of them shot an arrow at Lord Nityananda in their play. And Lord Nityananda, this boy said, "I am Ravana's son who defeated Indra, known as Indrajit." So he shot the arrow and Lord Nityananda fell on the ground unconscious. So then the boy said, "All right, Lord Nityananda, let's go and play the next part." But Nitai was on the ground unconscious and no one could bring him back to life again. It appeared that he was practically dead. So all the boys became very disturbed. They all crowded around Lord Nityananda saying, "Lord Nityananda, Nitai, wake up." But Nitai wouldn't wake up. So they became really disturbed. And then finally one man came by and said, "What's wrong?" And they said, "Well, we shot this arrow at Nitai, and now he won't wake up. It appears that he's practically dead." So the man said, "Well, what did he say before you shot the arrow?" "He said, if you shoot the arrow at me, then someone should play the part of Hanuman and go get herbs from the Himalayan mountains and bring them back to me." So one boy said, "I am Hanuman and I'm flying over to the Himalayas and bringing back the herbs." So then he flew over to the Himalayas. "Now I have the herbs and I'm putting in front of Lakshman these herbs and see if he revives." So he put the herbs, some grass in front of Lord Nitai's nose, he smelled the herbs and Nitai woke up. So everyone was quite impressed by the authenticity of Lord Nityananda's playing the part of Lakshman, as if it appeared that practically he might have been Lakshman in some previous incarnation. Similarly, Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna used to play the part of Lord Ram building the bridge over to Lanka. So these are eternal pastimes, and even God himself likes to remember these pastimes and play them. And we notice the young boys in our society, practically the first thing they get even before they get a Bhagavad Gita, is a bow and arrow. So, today we'll hear something about Lord Ram from the Bhagavatam, which is our most authentic version of the Ramayana. There are different versions of Ramayana. This tenth chapter describes how Lord Ramachandra, appeared in the dynasty of Maharaj Kadvanga. It also describes the Lord's activities, telling how he killed Ravan and returned to Ayodhya, the capital of his kingdom. The son of Maharaj Kadvanga was Dhira Gavahu, and his son was Raghu. The son of Raghu was Aja, and the son of Aja was Dasarath. And the son of Dasarath was Lord Ramachandra, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When the Lord descended into this world in his full quadruple expansion, as Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, sages like Valmiki, who are actually in knowledge of the Absolute Truth, describe this transcendental pastimes. Srila Shukadeva Goswami describes his pastimes in brief. Lord Ramachandra went with Vishramrita and killed Rakshashas like Maricha. And after breaking the stout and strong bow known as Haridanu, the Lord married Mother Sita and cut down the prestige of Parashuram. To obey the order of his father, he entered the forest accompanied by Lakshman and Sita. Probably the nicest movie I've seen so far for the Ramayana. Do they have that here? Is the marriage of Sita and Ram? They have part one and part two? Yeah, those are the nicest ones. There he cut off the nose of Surpanaka and killed the associates of Ram, headed by Kara and Dushana. Ravana's kidnapping of Sita Devi was the beginning of this demon's misfortune. When Maricha assumed the form of a golden deer, Lord Ramachandra went to bring the deer to please Sita Devi, but in the meantime Ravana took advantage of the Lord's absence to kidnap her. When Sita Devi was kidnapped, Lord Ramachandra, accompanied by Lakshman, searched for her throughout the forest. In the course of the search, they met Jatayu. Then the Lord killed the demon Kadamba and the commander Vali and established a friendly relationship with Sugriva. After organizing the military strength and the monkeys and going with them to the shore of the sea, the Lord awaited the arrival of Samudra, the ocean personified. When Samudra did not come, the Lord, the master of Samudra, became angry. When Samudra came to the Lord with great haste and surrendered to him, wanting to help him in every way. The Lord then attempted to bridge the ocean, and with the help of advice from Vibhishana, he attacked Ravana's kingdom, or capital Lanka. Previously, Hanuman, the eternal servant of the Lord, had set fire to Lanka, and now with the help of Lakshman, the forces of Lord Ramachandra killed all the Rakshasa soldiers. When Lord Ramachandra personally killed Ravana, Mandadari and the other wives lamented for Ravana. In accordance with Lord Ramachandra's order, Vibhishana performed the funeral ceremonies for all the dead in the family. Lord Ramachandra then gave Vibhishana the right to rule Lanka and also granted him a long duration of life. The Lord delivered Sita Devi from the Ashoka forest and carried her in a flower airplane to his capital, Ayodhya, where he was received by his brother Bharat. When Lord Ramachandra entered Ayodhya, Bharat brought his wooden shoes. Vibhishana and Sugriva held a whisk and fan. Hanuman carried an umbrella. Shatrughna carried the Lord's bow and two quivers. And Sita Devi carried a water pot carrying water from holy places. Angada carried a sword. And Jambavan Riksharaj carried a shield. After Lord Ramachandra, accompanied by Lord Lakshman and Mother Sita Devi, met all his relatives, the great sage Vashistha enthroned him as king. The chapter ends with a short description of Lord Ramachandra's rule in Ayodhya. Thus, I'll just read the translation. being prayed for by the demigods, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Absolute Truth Himself, directly appeared with His expansion and expansions of His of the expansion. Their holy names were Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna. These celebrated incarnations thus appeared in four forms as the sons of Maharaj Dasarath. Purport. Lord Ramachandra and his brothers Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna are all Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. The Supreme Personality of Godhead expands into many, many forms, Advaitam, Achutam, Anadim, Anantarupam. Although they are one and the same, Vishnu Tattva has many forms and incarnations. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murti Shukala Nimena Tishtan. The Lord is situated in many forms such as Ram, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, and these forms may exist in any part of His creation. All these forms exist permanently, eternally, as individual personalities of Godhead, and they resemble many candles, all equally powerful. Lord Ramachandra, Lakshman, Bharat, and Shatrughna, who being Vishnu Tattva are all equally powerful, became the sons of Maharaj Dasarath in response to prayers by the demigods. O King Parikshit, the transcendental activities of Lord Ramachandra have been described by great saintly persons who have seen the truth. Because you have heard again and again about Lord Ramachandra, the husband of Mother Sita, I shall describe these activities only in brief. Please listen. Prabhupada writes in the purport here, so therefore there are many so-called Ramayans, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities. Some of them are not actually authoritative. Sometimes Lord Ramachandra's activities are described in terms of one's own imaginations, speculations, and material sentiments. But the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra should not be handled as something imaginary. While describing the history of Lord Ramachandra, Shukadeva Goswami told Maharaj Parikshit, you have already heard about the activities of Lord Ramachandra. Apparently 5,000 years ago there were many Ramayans, or histories of Lord Ramachandra's activities, and there are many still. But we must select only those books written by the Tattvadarshis, Gyaninas Tattvadarshana, not the books of so-called scholars who claim knowledge only on the basis of a doctorate. This is a warning by Shukadeva Goswami, Rishi Vis Tattvadarshi B. Although the Ramayana, composed by Valmiki, is a huge literature, the same activities are summarized here by Shukadeva Goswami in a few verses. The Ramayana starts with, there is a sacrifice by King Dasarath in order to obtain a son, because although he was the king of Ayodhya, he could not obtain a son. And from the sacrifice, which was performed by Vashishtha Muni, then he was able to get some remnants of some sheer, which he divided into different parts. He gave half to his first wife, Queen, and he gave half of that to his second queen, one quarter, and then they divided that into two, the remaining, to give to the other queens. So from the first queen, what was the first queen's name? What's that? Kaushalya. Second one was known as Kaikeyi. And the third and the fourth ones were known as Kaushalya. So from Kaushalya came Lord Ramachandra, and from Kaikeyi came Bharat, and from the other two queens came Lakshman. What's that? Yeah, I'm sorry, from the Sumitra. She got She had twins. How did it happen? He gave half the milk preparation to Lord Ram, or to Kaushalya, and she had Lord Ramachandra. And half of that was given to Sumitra. No. It was given to Kaikeyi, and she had Bharat. And then half of that was given back to Kaikeyi, and then Sumitra only got a quarter, and she had twins. Something. Anyhow, we won't figure it out. Yes.
Half to Kaushalya and the other half divided in two. But she was, Sumitra was a little bit disturbed because she got last. And because she was disturbed, she spoiled it. And then the other two queens, they gave a little bit of their portion to her. And that's why she got twins. But I don't know if that's wrong or fine.
Something happened. In any case, she had Lakshman and... See, there was Lakshman and who else? Shatrughna. So they grew up as princes in the dynasty of Dasarath. But one day Vishwamrita Muni came when they were teenagers and he asked them to come and act as and kill the demons who were disturbing his sacrifice. Vishwamrita at this time was a Brahmin. Although he was a very powerful Kshatriya previously, as we know the story that one time he came to the hermitage of Vashishtamuni as a king ruling over many hundreds and thousands of warriors. He came with his army and he saw the little hermitage of Vashishtamuni and he came down and offered his respects. And he saw that Vashishtamuni had one little cow known as a Kamadenu cow. And Vishistamuni greeted him and offered him greetings and said, whatever I can do for you, please let me know. So the king thought, here's a little sage in the middle of nowhere, what he could do for me. So he said, no problem, you know, it's all right. Don't bother yourself. So the sage said, no, I'd like to invite you for prasad. Holiday today, you can come and bring your soldiers with you too. So Vishwamrita Muni, he thought that the sage doesn't really know what's going on. I have hundreds and thousands of warriors with me, and he has this little cottage here. How are we going to fit all the soldiers? I can hardly stand here. But the sage insisted, no, bring your army, whatever it is. So he said, I have hundreds and thousands of warriors. No problems. We'll find room. So they all marched down, all the soldiers, and somehow or another, even a little tiny space, they all fit in by Vishistamuni's mystic power. So now the king thought, no, what is he going to give us to eat? You know, leaves or what? Acorns from the forest? So he said, just all of them sat down. They said, then Vishistamuni said, whatever plate comes to your mind, whatever plate you like, just imagine it and it'll appear. So all the soldiers imagined different types of plates. Some of them imagined gold plates. Some of them imagined silver plates. Some of them imagined diamond plates, emerald plates. And all these plates appeared before them. Then he said, whatever preparation you'd like, it'll appear on your plate. So they imagined gulab jamuns and halva and puris and samosas, and all these things appeared on the plate. And then he said, whatever entertainment you want, just imagine it and it'll appear. So they imagined the apsaras coming from Indraloka, the dances on Brahmaloka, the Gandharvas coming and singing, the chanaras, everyone. They're imagining different things. And from the udder of this Kamudenu cow was coming all these things. So at this time, Vishwamrita became quite impressed. And he said, there's one thing you could give me. Now that I think about it, why don't you give me the cow? So Vishishtha Muni said, no, I can't do that. This cow and I have been very close for a long time. This cow provides all the ghee for my sacrifices. I can't give up this cow. Subal, I think the cow was. I am sorry, I can't give up the cow. So Vishramita said, well, if you don't want to give up the cow, then I'm going to take the cow. So he had his men grab the cow and they dragged the cow away. The cow was crying. You know. So then the cow broke away from the soldiers, came back to Vishishtha Muni's feet and said, well, why don't you protect me? I'm your dearmost cow. He said, all right, since you're asking me to protect you, so from your udders come forth 1 million Rakshasa soldiers, come forth 1 million Dakshini soldiers, 1 million Rishava soldiers, and from the udder of the cow came forth all these soldiers, and within a moment, the whole army of Vishramrita Muni disappeared. Just like a forest during a during forest fire. And the only one left was Vishramrita Muni. So he thought, what is the power of a Kshatriya compared to that of a Brahmin? Let me become a Brahmin. And as we know, he went and started to meditate. And he got up to 60,000 years. And just when he was about to become a Brahmin, then at this time, Lord Indra, in fear of his position in heaven, sent one Apsara. And after meditating for 60,000 years, I guess Vishramrita was getting a little bored. And even the sound of Menaka's ankle bells agitated his mind. And when he opened his eyes, he even became more agitated. And he fathered one daughter named Shakuntala. So at this time, he had fallen down. He had just wasted 60,000 years. And he sat down for meditation. And after 60,000 more years, again, Indra became worried that this person must be interested in my post. So he sent another Apsara, who didn't want to go. She said, why don't you send someone else? But Indra insisted. And this time she went, and when he heard her ankle bells, he remembered his last fall down. And he became so angry when he opened his eyes, fire came forth from his eyes, and this Apsara was burnt to ashes. And she didn't have insurance either. So then he sat down for meditation again, and another 60,000 years went by. So by this time, Indra figured this person's really serious. And none of the Apsaras wanted to go either. So this time, Brahma came down and gave him second initiation. Kali Yuga things were easier. You can get Gayatri Mantra in a year. You don't have to burn any Apsaras to ashes either. So this time he became a Brahmin. Of course, he was a little disappointed. It took him 180,000 years just to get second initiation. He was actually hoping to become a Maharishi or something. But he just became a Rishi. I don't think he became a Rishi, he just became a Brahmin. In any case, he became a great Maharishi eventually. And at this time he was performing sacrifices, but there are some demons headed by Maricha, who are disturbing his fire sacrifice. Every time they'd have a sacrifice, then Maricha and some other demons, they come and they pass urine and stool on the sacrifice and spoil it. So Vishramrita was perfectly capable of destroying the demons because he was a great warrior. But he knew if I did that, then I'd lose my brahminical prowess. At this time, he came to the kingdom of Ayodhya and asked for the sons of Dasarath, specifically Ramachandra and Lakshman, to come and help him so that he could kill these demons. So on the way, he taught them the different Baal and Atibaal mantras. So by these Baal and Atibaal mantras, they were able to manifest different weapons. And by these weapons, they were able to slay many demons in their pastimes. And on the way there, they came across a forest, and there was one she-demon there, whose name I forget. Does anyone remember? Tara. There's one she-demon, Tara. And because she was, is that right? We have our Ram expert here. Taraka, okay. She's the authority here. She's not the one you have on the altar, is it? So, Taraka was in this forest. Actually, she was a demigoddess, but she was cursed. And ever since she was living in the forest, then the whole forest had become practically uninhabited, that all the animals had to leave, and it was just all dead trees. And anyone who came into the forest, she'd eat them. So it wasn't the most friendly forest. So when she heard Lord Ramachandra came, then immediately she started to throw stones at him. And she was going to pick him up and eat him, but Vishramrita told him to shoot his arrow and kill her. But he hesitated because he didn't want to kill a woman. But Vishramrita convinced him that it was necessary, so he shot an arrow. And I guess she was the first demon that was killed by Lord Ram. Is that right? She was the first demon? Yes. And then the forest became inhabitable again. And she became a demigod again, demigoddess, and went back to the heavenly planets. So finally they arrived there, and Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman stood guard day and night. And at the day of the sacrifice, Maricha came with his cohorts and started to rain down stool and urine. But Lord Ramachandra shot his arrow, killed some of the demons, and knocked Maricha, I think 100,000 yojanas away with his arrow, 800,000 miles into the ocean. So Maricha was quite impressed when he woke up. He thought that this is not the person we want to get into a fight with. So he retired and he became a sage in some cave where he was living. So as the story goes on, after performing this service for Vishramrita, he took him to the country where Janaka Maharaj was ruling. And at this place, there was a big fire. There was a sacrifice going on. So, what was the name of the place where Mithila? So Mithila, and there was a sacrifice. Anyone who could string the bow that was given by Lord Shiva, then they could win the hand of Janaki, Sita Devi. So Janaki was actually Lakshmi Devi. She was found when Janaka Maharaj was performing a sacrifice. And before performing a sacrifice, generally they take a golden plow and they take it through the area where their sacrifice would be performed, and they plow up the land with a golden plow. So while he was plowing up the land with a golden plow, he found a little baby in the earth. And he named her Janaki. So she was an ordinary little baby, because one day it was found that this bow, which was so heavy, that it took 400 warriors just to pull it on a cart with wheels. She one day, when they were playing, one of the balls got caught on the other side of the bow, so she just picked up the bow with her left hand and got the ball and put the ball back. So everyone realized that she was a little special. No one decided to pick a fight with her either. In any case, the contest was you had to pick up this bow and string it. So all the great personalities throughout the whole universe came in order to try and attempt to pick up Lord Shiva's bow and string it. Including Ravana even came. And Jarasandha and all the great warriors at that time. I guess the Jarasandha. Well, Ravana came. So all these warriors came, and even Ravana, he tried to pick up the bow and his hands got stuck. In any case, the contest was you had to pick up this bow and string it. So all the great personalities throughout the whole universe came in order to try and attempt to pick up Lord Shiva's bow and string it. Including Ravana even came. And Jarasandha and all the great warriors at that time. I guess the Jarasandha. Well, Ravana came. So all these warriors came, and even Ravana, he tried to pick up the bow and his hands got stuck underneath the bow. So he was in great pain and anxiety. But finally, Lord Ramachandra is also there. He picked up the bow and strung it, and when he strung it, the bow broke, and the sound was so tumultuous that everyone in the kingdom except for Lord Ram and Dasarath fell unconscious. And he was given the hand of Sita Devi. So that was just the beginning of his problems. He thought everything was... This was one of these marriages where the bride and bridegroom don't live happily. Oh, they do live happily forever after, but not in the mundane vision, they don't. Because they went back to the kingdom of Ayodhya. And there, Lord Ramachandra was very popular amongst all the citizens. Everyone loved him very dearly. And so it was decided that soon Dasarath would retire and that Lord Ramachandra would become the heir to the throne. So on the day of the coronation, the day before that, then Mantara, by the arrangement of the Supreme Lord, went to her master or mistress, who was Kaikeyi, and told her, how is it possible that Lord Ram is going to be crowned king tomorrow, because as soon as he's crowned king, then he's going to banish your son and yourselves into the forest. So you, before this happens, before he banishes Bharat, your son, and yourselves, and you lose everything, that you should utilize the boons that the king has given you and banish Lord Ram into the forest and have your son crowned king. So somehow or another she influenced Kaikeyi. She went to the king, and as we know, she convinced the king that he had to banish Ram into the forest and crown Bharat as the king. So this happened, of course. Bharat did not accept the throne, although Ram very happily went into the forest, and all the citizens of Ayodhya followed him. But Lord Ram told them all to go back, because otherwise, if the whole city of Ayodhya came into the forest, then that would be Ayodhya. There would be no question of being banished. In any case, Bharat came back. He wouldn't accept the throne. Instead, he put the wooden shoes of Lord Ramachandra on the throne, and he went to Mathura, where he would just eat grains which were boiled in cow urine every day. Grains. He just eats some grains which were boiled in cow urine every day. He's living as an ascetic in Mathura. And he came there and he punished Mantara for her sinful activity of banishing Lord Ram. And Lord Ram went into the forest. So there's a whole story of all his all his adventures in the forest, when Lakshman and were there, they met many different personalities. Who was the first one they met? Who was the Aborigine king they met first? Anyhow, there are different personalities they met. They lived in the... What was it? Guha. Yeah, Guha. And they went to different forests, and eventually they came to the forest of Kishkinga. Kishkinga. What's that? And in this forest, it was a very beautiful forest. They had a nice hermitage. And everything seemed to be going all right. But one day, there was this lady. Her name was Surpranakha. So Surpranakha was the sister of Ravan. So Ravan was the son of a Brahmin. But unfortunately, he was a demon. And he had one of his brothers, whose name is Vibhishan. Another was called Kumbhakarna, and his sister was Surpanakha. So they all did austerities for many years, fasting and standing on one leg to receive a boon from Lord Brahma. So after some time, Ravana received the boon that he would not be killed by anyone, but he didn't ask for the boon of not being killed by a human being, because he thought human beings are so insignificant. Why should I bother asking for the boon? Yeah. And Kumbhakarna was about to ask for a boon, but the demigoddess of learning entered into his mouth, and he asked for the boon that he can eat and sleep forever. That he'd eat unlimitedly and then he'd go to sleep forever. Because the demigods were afraid that this monster, if he gets a boon, he'll just destroy the universe. So he asked for this boon. So be it, Lord Brahma said. You can eat and then sleep forever. And Vibhishan asked for the boon that maybe always be virtuous and noble. And I don't know what Surpanakha asked for, but it wasn't anything auspicious. In any case, she was wandering in the forest eating hermits. And after eating a few hermits, she came across Lord Ramachandra and became very attracted to him. So she disguised herself as a very beautiful girl, because the Rakshasas, they had the power to transform themselves into any form they wanted. So she appeared before Lord Ramachandra and Lakshman and Sita in the forest as a very beautiful girl. And then went up to Lord Ram and said, "My dear Lord Ram, you are a great hero. Your arms are so strong. Your shoulders are so broad. I am a very beautiful young demigoddess. So you must accept me as your wife." So Lord Ramachandra said, "No, I can't accept you as my wife, because actually I'm already married and I've made a vow, ekapati vrat, that I will only accept one wife. But my younger brother is here, you can accept him." So she went up to the younger brother, and Lakshman said, "Well, my elder brother is just jesting with you." He said, "Actually, I'm simply his slave. Why would you want to marry a slave when you can marry the actual master?" So he went back to Ramachandra and said, "I'm sorry, I can't do it because of my wife." So she said, "All right, no problem about your wife, because I'll just eat your wife." So she manifested her form as a Rakshasi and went up. She pounced on Sita to eat her, but before she could touch Sita, then Lakshman took out his sword and cut off her nose and ears. So she became quite disturbed. She went to her brothers, Dushasan, and told him about what had happened, and at this time he had 18,000 Rakshasas in the forest, and they all attacked Lord Ramachandra, and they were all slain. So this is a very exciting description of Lord Ramachandra slaying the demons in the forest. And then after seeing this, Surpanaka went back to Lanka and told Ravana about what had happened. So, of course, it's a long story. Eventually we know that Lord Ramachandra, he went to attack Ravan. So Ravan, during this time, he went to get Bali's help, because Bali was his ancestor. So he went to Bali, who is now living in, what was the name of the, where is Bali living now? Sutala? He lives in Sutala. So he went to Sutala, and at this time, Vamanadeva was his doorkeeper. So he convinced Vamanadeva to let him in to see his relative. So Ravana, he got in there to see Bali Maharaj, and Bali Maharaj greeted him. So he asked Bali, can you come and help me? I'm having some problems. There's this human being who's come and attacking my kingdom. So I heard he's quite powerful. I need your help. So Bali said, I'm an old man. I can't do very much anymore. I can't really help you. So he said, you got to do something to help me. He said, I'll tell you what. You probably need some money to support the war against Ram. So I'll tell you what. I'll give you a jewel. He said, good. You know, whatever you can give me will help. So I said, but you have to come with me. It may be hard to take away the jewel. It's a little big. So he brought them into this room, this huge room, which was so many yojanas long and high. And in this huge room was this diamond mountain. And on the diamond mountain, actually it was a golden mountain, there were so many diamonds on it, huge boulders of diamonds on it, and emeralds, and huge, it was like yojanas into the air. And he said, here, you can have this. So if you can take it with you. So Ravana tried to pick it up, but the golden mountain was so heavy and the diamonds were so heavy he couldn't even lift it. He said, I can't even lift this. He said, what to speak of taking it back with me? He said, where did this come from? He said, it looks a little familiar. So he said, well, this actually used to belong to you. He said, in your last lifetime, you were Hiranyakashipu, and this was your earring. But when you fought against another incarnation of the same person you're about to fight with, you were killed, and this earring fell here. So this was your earring. In your last lifetime, you were killed by the same person. So now, you've become Ravana, you're like a puny little nothing. And you're going to fight with him again? Good luck. So then he left, and on his way out, Vamanadeva kicked him. He got kicked from in his behind, and he flew into the air. 800,000 yojanas. Anyhow, he was puffed up, so he didn't learn very much. He thought, so in my last lifetime I had a few bad breaks. Probably killed me when I wasn't looking or something. So this time I'll get back at him. So this is the demoniac mentality. So as we know, Ravana, he tried in so many ways to kill Lord Ramachandra. Generally, he said, send all his soldiers first to fight against Lord Ram. And one after another, all the great heroes were killed by the monkey warriors, Angada and Hanuman. And even in this war, there was Drivida. Drivida was actually a general in the army of Sugriva. But we find that by bad association with Bulmasura, he became a demon. And later on, he actually fought against Krishna in the form of Lakshman, Balaram. So there's an example of bad association. Even a devotee can become misdirected. So this is a very interesting story. I don't think we can... It's about time now. Does anyone else have another story, exciting story they want to tell? So Ramayana, you can go on for a long time telling stories.
Lord Maharaj had once a story about Maharaja, the brother of Ramayana.
Yeah, but we just read that we should try and stick to bona fide ones. Some of them are bona fide, some of them are kind of concocted. Mahiravana. Probably the part about how Mahiravana, he was actually an uncle of Ravana, and he was living in the nether worlds, which might be Brazil, Prabhupada said. And in the nether worlds, he was, he had a huge army, and Ravana came and asked Mahiravana to kidnap Ramachandra and Lakshman and sacrifice them. So he came. At this time, Hanuman, in order to protect Ramachandra, he manifested a form. So Lord Ramachandra, and this form was like a fort. And inside the fort he put Ramachandra and Lakshman. But Mahiravana came disguised as Vibhishan and entered into the fort and kidnapped Ramachandra and Lakshman and took him to his kingdom. So then there's the story of how Hanuman went into the netherworlds and destroyed so many different armaments and forts, and finally how he had to simultaneously kill Mahiravana, whose heart was in the Himalayas, and he had to crush the diamond heart, blow out candle simultaneously, and kill him. So how he was able to do that simultaneously. So that's quite an exciting story. And then he got back. Ramachandra came back with Lakshman. Of course, there's the exciting story of Hanuman jumping over to Lanka and how one mountain came and asked, at this time there were flying mountains. One of the last flying mountains came and offered Hanuman some rest on its back, because it appears that the mountains used to fly, but sometimes when they would die, they'd fall down and they'd crush cities. So Indra cut off all the wings of all the mountains. That's why you don't find very many mountains with wings anymore. But there was one mountain that hid in the ocean, so Indra didn't see the mountain, and it was still hiding there. But when Lord Ramachandra, when Hanuman was jumping over, because the mountain was related to Lord Ram, therefore it offered Hanuman some rest. But Hanuman said, I don't really have time. So the mountain felt a little disappointed, but Hanuman flew by. Then there was one she demon who became as big as Hanuman when he was flying by, and Hanuman became bigger than the she-demon, and then the she-demon opened her mouth even wider and said, before you go anywhere, you have to enter, I have to eat you. And then Hanuman became bigger and she became bigger, and it kept on going on and on and on. And finally Hanuman entered into her mouth and became small and the smallest, and then came out the other end. And that was the end of her. I guess he came out the other end and killed her. And then he proceeded on to Lanka. And then when he was entering to Lanka, there was a small little monkey. At this time, the goddess of Lanka stopped him and said, you can't enter here. You We don't want any monkeys here. So he tripped her and beat her up. And then she became a demigoddess and said, thank you very much that I was cursed to become the goddess of Lanka, but I was told that as soon as some monkey comes and defeats me, then this will be the end of Lanka. So she left, went back to the heavenly planets, and Hanuman entered into Lanka to find Sita. So there are many different stories. Any questions? Yes. Yeah, he was a kshatriya.
He sent it against the kshatriya rules to kill like brahmanas or women, children, like that.
Krishna doesn't always follow the rules.
What about Hanuman?
Hanuman?
He came to Lanka.
He didn't kill her. He just beat her up. Anyhow, if these are not ordinary ladies. It wasn't that he walked down the street and found her later and hit her. They're Rakshasis. Either you beat them up or they ate you. So, out of self-defense, you're allowed to do those things. Simply out of self-defense. So we'll stop there. Lord Ramachandra's appearance day, ki jai. Srila Prabhupada, ki jai. Gaur Premanande. Hari Om.